Mark chapter 1, starting at verse number 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. We've been considering this series of sermons, lessons around the theme of new rhythms or new habits, living missional in 2018. That is our goal for this series, to shape us into missional beings. That is, people who are doing things on purpose because we are on a mission. And it's important that as we try our best to be effective missional partners with God, that we shape new habits and new rhythms. So in this endeavor, we are seeking to form these habits that would help us to live missionally. That is, again, living in partnership with God in his mission to redeem, reclaim, renew, reconcile this world. To help us, I've been using a really just a fantastically written and actually really short book called Surprise the World, written by Michael Frost, who is a missional expert. I believe he's out of Australia and has some roots in the restoration movement even. The book of Acts actually is his thesis for all that he writes. He believes that the early church is our best example of what it means to live missional. But in this book, The Five Habits of Highly Missional People, he uses an acronym to help encourage us to embrace some new habits, what I'm calling new rhythms. We started with, it's the acronym BELLS, and we started with the B, which stands for bless. It's the rhythm of generosity. And so what I am encouraging you to do every week, not just 1 week and then later, but make it a practice in your life to bless three people every week, at least three people. If you want to bless 30, do that. But bless at least three people a week, and at least one person, someone who's not a part of this body. So get out there and share words of affirmation or give gifts or do an act of service for at least three people. We moved from there to the E, which stands for eat. This is the rhythm of hospitality. And in being hospitable, we are welcoming people who otherwise wouldn't come or be a part of our lives unless we invite them. That's what hospitality is. We invite others into our lives. And one of the most simple ways for us to invite others into our lives is just eat with one another. And so it's been great to hear stories of how you have been inviting people into your life, into your homes to eat and eating with each other and being hospitable. Someone even shared with me when we had the potluck a couple weeks ago that they there was someone in church that they have been wanting to meet and talk to, and they just hadn't gotten around to it. And the moment that they sat at a table and started eating with each other, they met with each other and got to know with each other. There's something sacred and special that takes place when we sit around and eat and we're hospitable. But let's not limit our hospitality to just eating. Being hospitable is something that ought to just be a part of who we are in all the realms of our life, especially when we come here to church. I was sharing on Saturday morning with some brothers about visiting a church with my family. We went to this church and we walked in the doors, and they gave us a program, I believe, and then we went in for the service, about an hour service, and then afterwards they had cookies and dessert, and we ate cookies and dessert. And then we left. And do you know that not one person spoke to us? This is a church of probably 500 people. Not one person spoke to us. Well, you know, hey, I'll give them a break there. But then we're out in the parking lot, and my headlight was out, and so I'm trying to fix my headlight. It's dark outside. I didn't have the right tools, and I was just having a time. I mean, we're on YouTube looking up videos on how to change this light bulb out, and I'm telling you, 50, 60 people walked right past us, did not say a word to us. I hope that is never the commentary of someone who walks inside of our church and leaves. I hope that there is never a visitor that comes in here and leaves and says, man, nobody said a word to me. Nobody said hi to me. Nobody said welcome to our family. No one. Being hospitable is much more than just eating. Eating is a big part, but welcoming people and being hospitable in our midst is very important, and it has to be embraced by the church culture. Amen, church? Is that all right? So let's move on to the next letter in the acronym, the first L, which stands for listen. This is the rhythm of being led by the Spirit. Now look, let's not lose sight of what we are doing. We are attempting to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Now next week, we're going to look at that more specifically, learning about Jesus. But we don't want to lose sight that we need to be reminded that Jesus was on a mission. Jesus was sent here for a purpose. He was sent here to be on a mission. He was on a mission instituted by his Father, the God of the heavens. He was sent here to do something. He was sent here to make a difference. He was here to direct people towards a relationship with God. He was here to address the problem of sin and brokenness. He was here to lead people towards relationship with God and one another. He was on a mission. He was living missional here on earth. So when we read of what Jesus was doing as recorded in the Gospels, we need to think of what he was doing as a function of his missional work in connection to God's will and God's purposes here on earth. And Jesus was busy. He was busy. I don't know if you get a full sense from the reading that I just read from the Gospel of Mark, but if you read the entire Gospel of Mark, you'll stop reading and you'll start breathing heavy, because it's just action after action after action. As Jesus went here and he went there, he taught this group, he healed that person, and then he spoke to that group, and then he cast out demons, and then he healed lepers, and then he healed lame people, and then crowds came, and then he talked to them, and then he preached to them, and then he fed them, and then he healed some more people, then he walked this way, and you just like, oh my goodness, Jesus was busy. We know about being busy, don't we? Those of you, us who are parents of school-age children, oh my goodness, we know what it's like to be busy. I mean, we have our own work schedules. We have our school schedules. We have our kids' school schedules. We have our kids' extracurricular schedules. We have to go grocery shopping. We have to clean the house. We have to do laundry. We have to go to church. We have to cook and eat dinner. We have to watch our favorite TV shows and listen to our favorite music. Now, perhaps some of these activities are simplified because we can do some of the, you know, two activities at one time, but nonetheless, we're busy because we have to pack all of these things in our schedules, and we're in our car, and we drive here, and we drive there, and we're on the phone with this person, and we're responding to emails, and we're responding to texts, and we're just busy people. We know what it means to be busy, and in the course of all of this busyness, we try to find time to pray, to spend some quiet time with God, or to spend some time with Scripture. And it's often our lament or our complaint that, man, there's just not enough time. It's just not enough time to pray. It's just not enough time to spend time with Scripture. It's just not enough time to do all the spiritual discipline stuff that I know is good for me, is going to be healthy for me, but I just have no time to do it. You know, the moment I start or sit down or try to do it, you know, I sit in my bed and I open my Bible, and next thing I know, there's like slobber in my Bible because I didn't fell asleep. Because we're busy. We know what it's like to be busy, and for, you know, quite frankly, this is a big struggle. This is a big struggle. This is why it's so important to take a look at Jesus. Because we've established that Jesus was busy, right? Jesus was all over the place all the time. He was being called by people. You know, people wanted him. He was busy. Even in the story I read, he went alone to pray, and what happened? Peter's going, sir, where's Jesus? Hey, we need you, bro. Come on. He's busy. So busy, in fact, that the gospel writer Luke says in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, it says, the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus, and get this, he was so busy that he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He understood that because he was so busy, it was imperative that he spent alone time with God and that he spent time to pray. Busyness didn't rob him of the opportunity to pray. Busyness prompted him to pray. The other accounts of Jesus make note of these instances as well. As I read from Mark, we see Jesus getting up early in the morning to be with God. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. If it was important for the Son of God to withdraw, to be with God, how much important is it for us to get away to be with God? And the getting away to be with God isn't just an exercise of being churchy or being holier than thou or being a super Christian. It is an exercise of great importance, because in those moments that we engage in conversation with God, we also engage in a very in an activity that often gets neglected, because we are very good at talking. But man, we really struggle with listening. So I would submit that getting away with God isn't just about talking, but also about listening and receiving. It is in those moments that we seek to hear from God and commit to be led by the Spirit. Look at Jesus, who turned his heart to the Spirit's moving in all of his steps, not just a few. He didn't consult God on 50% of the things that he did, but all of them. I mean, here's a sampling. Look at right after he's baptized, Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke chapter 6, verse number 12. Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. Now, how did Jesus know who to choose to be his disciples? Well, I would say he listened to the Spirit's leading. He took time to hear and listen. Before making a move, he listened. Before going here or there, he listened. Before making a pronouncement, he listened. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and one of the truths that Jesus followers, that's you and me, we're Jesus followers. One of the truths that we need to embody, that we need to accept, is that we have the Holy Spirit. God has blessed us, being a generous God. We've talked about that over and over again. He has blessed us with so many gifts. Perhaps the greatest gift that he has blessed us with is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. It is in us. Those who have accepted God's gift of grace and declared Jesus as Lord, we have the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said to them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Romans 5 and 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Corinthian Christians, that if you read Corinthians, they were jacked up. But even though they were jacked up, he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it dwells or lives inside of you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Church, God did not call us to live in this world or to do life on our own. He has deposited within each and every one of us his Holy Spirit. And our call is to live by and to be led by this Holy Spirit. The Spirit leads us and prompts us and moves us. How many times do you receive nudges to serve? How many times do you get these nudges or these promptings to minister, nudges to go and to do the work of God, the work that he has called us to do? And how much more would we walk in the ways of God if we had a rhythm of listening, being led by the Spirit? A couple weeks ago, after I preached a sermon on eating, I remember having my morning time and my scripture reading and my prayer, and then I had to go out and do some things, and I got busy, and often is the case during my day that it's 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I say to myself, I haven't eaten lunch. And so I thought to myself, where should I go to lunch? I've told you in the past that I do work with Summer Raise, which is a recovery ministry here in Reynoldsburg, and they have a cafe just east of here on Main Street. And you know, something just said, man, go to the Rev Cafe and support that ministry by buying some food there. So I stopped there, and I'm too busy to stay there and eat. So I said, hey, can I get a sloppy Joe sandwich and some curly fries to go? I saw some people in there that I recognized, and we were talking a little bit. Mind you, this was after the sermon that I said, I want you to eat with three people, two people or one person that goes to church here, maybe one person that doesn't. And this would have been a great opportunity for me to do that, but I was busy and I had to rush and I had to go. And so the guy brought my food out on a platter for here. I'm like, I know I told him to go. And it was just at that moment where I kind of said to myself, or felt this nudge, hey, eat here. So I sat there, and some folks from Summer Raise came by, hey, Dion, and we got to talking. And I found myself talking to a young lady who lost the father of her daughter to drug addiction. And she was sharing with me some of the issues that she's just going through and dealing with the loss of the father of her daughter, and talking about how it's still not real. And then I was talking to another gentleman who started asking me some questions, and if you want to know what those questions are, I'll tell you in a private setting, but it was a question that I have to be honest with you, never heard before in my life. But I found myself talking to him for about 10, 20 minutes about God's grace and how God's grace is open to all, even those who've made grave, grave, grave mistakes. I wonder what would happen if we spent time listening to God, and when we felt those nudges, when we felt those promptings. You ever just out of nowhere just start thinking about somebody that you hadn't thought about in a long time? Maybe that's a prompting to give that person a call. Maybe it's a prompting to bless that person, or to invite that person into your life to be a blessing or to be hospitable. These are promptings that I don't think we ought to ignore. And these are promptings that I believe come from the Holy Spirit. Now, look, the truth is that many of us doubt that God speaks or that the Spirit speaks or prompts us to do these things. Last week at Winterfest, one of the speakers that really had an impact on me, I can't speak for everyone else, although I did hear some of the team speak positively about this particular speaker. But I remember him telling a story about going and speaking to an audience of college kids. And he said something to the effect, he's asking the audience, he says, now by show of hands, how many people here believe that the devil, that Satan kind of speaks to people and nudges people to do evil things? And he said that, man, almost everybody everybody believed that. He said, oh, yeah, put your hands down. He says, now how many of you here believe that God speaks through the Holy Spirit and prompts you to do spiritual things? He says, some people raise their hand, not as many as the first group. And even those who had raised their hands hesitated. And so he asked the question, why is it that we think that Satan is a better communicator than God? Why are we more willing to accept that Satan speaks and nudges, but not God and the Holy Spirit? Living by the Spirit is the way of Jesus. There must be times that we carve out of our busy schedules to institute a rhythm of listening and being led by the Spirit. But not only that, paying attention to all the moments in our lives that sometimes we just pass off as just being a coincidence or, there's nothing to that. I long to be a person, Dion, I long to be a person that pays attention to everything and not to think of everything as a coincidence. Last week in Winterfest, Christy and I were out on the boulevard, hanging out, and we're in one of the establishments, and I look over at this woman, and she looked at me, and we both looked like, "Are you kidding me? It's a girl I went to high school with." And I'm like, "Sherry, Dion," hug each other, and like, "What are you doing?" She lives in South Carolina. We went to high school, went to a couple years in college. Sherry just recently wrote a book. It's a memoir of her life. It's about being led by the Spirit. It's about following God's calling. And she was there in Gatlinburg leading a couples retreat for some of the members at her church. Sherry's always been a good girl. I mean, she wasn't like a wild girl or anything, but the fact that I run into an individual and all she kept saying, "This is not a coincidence. There's something involved in here." I don't know what that is yet, but for her it may be, "Oh, he's gonna buy my book now." I mean, I don't know. This is a spiritual thing. Living by the Spirit is living in the way of Jesus, and I long to be one that lives in the way of Jesus, that don't take God incidents for granted. And so what we are challenging, or what I'm challenging all of us to embrace, is a rhythm of living by the Spirit. Paul in Galatians, I think I heard someone in class quote this passage, Galatians 5:16, where Paul says, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh." Dropping down to verse number 25, he says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." So the new rhythms that we are embracing is a rhythm of generosity. Church, I want to encourage you to bless three people this week, at least one person from the church here and one person who does not belong to this church and another person of your choosing. I want you to practice the rhythm of generosity or hospitality, and eat with at least three people, one being someone from here and one being someone who doesn't go here. And I want you to consider embracing the rhythm of being led by the Spirit. And this is twofold. If you don't already have a regular practice and time of prayer and silence and meditation with Scripture, I'm asking you, if you don't do that, just choose one period of time this week where you can just get alone, that you can withdraw like Jesus did and go to a lonely place, turn off your cell phone, get out of sight, just go somewhere. If you have to wait for the kids to go to bed or you have to wait for the kids to go to school, do something so that kids don't come in and say, "Mama, mama, mama, mom, mom, mom." You ever been there where they "Dad, dad, 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 I hear you." Whatever you need to do to just kind of just get alone and be with God. Anyone here remember the song, The Jericho Road? Did y'all just sing that song growing up? "On the Jericho Road, There's room for just two. I love the bass part on that. Some friends put that on Facebook about how we used to love singing that song. And I love singing that song because, man, it just, the bass would come in and sopranos would do their part. And I really never paid attention to the words. And it was funny as I was repeating those words, the words, there's room for just two, just kind of stuck out to me. And just Jesus and you. What I want you to do is to find a time where it's just Jesus and you. Doesn't have to be an hour, doesn't need to be 2 hours, just 5 minutes, just 10 minutes. Institute a regular practice, at least a weekly practice of just being alone with God. Now, ideally, do this every day. But if you can't do it every day, just one day a week. That's the first part. The second part is when you are out in your busyness, listen. That's a little bit harder. But when you're busy, when you're frustrated, when you're in a crowd of people who are talking so loud that you can't, just can't, listen. Because I don't believe that the Spirit just speaks and talks when you're all alone by yourself. But sometimes he speaks to you when you're in a cafe eating a sloppy Joe. Listen. Bless three people. Eat with three people. Spend some time with God alone. And make a commitment to be led by the Spirit. Is that all right? Let's pray. God, we desire to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And we want to participate in life-changing moments where people are saying yes to you. They're saying yes to Jesus. They're declaring Jesus as Lord. They are willing recipients of the Holy Spirit. They want to call on you as Abba, Father. We want to participate in that. We want to live missional. We want to see young people and old people and white people and black people. And we want to see men and women. We want to see so many people come to Jesus. And God, we are grateful that you have called us into partnership with you to work alongside you in those momentous events. And so, God, in doing so, we are attempting to embrace some new habits, some new rhythms. God, as you have blessed us, we intend to bless others. As you have welcomed us and been hospitable with us, we intend to eat and to embrace a spirit of hospitality. And God, as you have blessed us with the gift of your Holy Spirit, we intend to walk by that Holy Spirit. We intend to be led by that Holy Spirit, and we intend to listen to the promptings of that Holy Spirit. God, I pray that as a church, that we will always be mindful to listen to you before we listen to our clever schemes, our clever plans, that we would commit to hearing from you, hearing from the Holy Spirit. God, so as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as individuals, we are also the temple of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit resides in this place. God, it is our commitment as the body of Christ to walk in the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led and guided by the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit. Father, protect us from the lies of Satan who says that you don't speak. God, help us to turn deaf ears to the promptings of Satan and the evil one, but to open our hearts, our eyes, our ears wide open to see you, to listen to you. to be led by you. This is our prayer. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. In the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, we all said, amen. As we sing this next song about the Spirit of the living God, if there is something that we can do for you by way of prayer, if you need us to walk alongside you as you embrace this truth that the Holy Spirit is in you, that it speaks to you, that it wants to lead you, we want to provide this time for you. If there's any other need that you have, please come as we stand and sing this song.